All right, listeners, ready to bend your brains a little bit? We're going deep on a case today that really makes you think about privacy and recording conversations. It's People v. Beardsley, back in 1986, an Illinois Supreme Court decision that people are still talking about today. Speeding tickets, secret recordings. It's a wild ride.
It really is. What's so interesting about this case is it forces us to think about what privacy even means, especially in a world where everyone's got a camera and a microphone in their pocket. This case is like a time capsule, a look back at how the courts were trying to deal with these issues before smartphones even existed.
Okay, so for everyone listening, picture this. Robert Beardsley gets pulled over for speeding, things get a little intense, and he ends up in the back of a police car. But here's the twist. He's secretly recording the officers while they're talking in the front seat.
Yeah, he got hit with more than just a speeding ticket. He ends up getting convicted for violating the Illinois eavesdropping law. And that's where things get really interesting legally, because this law hinges on the idea of a reasonable expectation of privacy, you know, which, as you can imagine, isn't always so clear-cut. So the big question the court had to grapple with was, did these officers in the front seat of their patrol car have a reasonable expectation that their conversation was private?
It's a tough one, right? I mean, you're in the back of a police car, you're detained, there's a barrier between you and the officers, but you're also right there in the same vehicle.
You hit the nail on the head. It's a really tricky situation. And in the end, the Illinois Supreme Court decided that those officers did not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in that situation. But the really interesting part is how they got to that decision. They made three key points that have become super important in eavesdropping law.
Okay, lay it on me. What were those three points?
So first, they pointed out that the officers knew Beardsley was in the back of the car. He wasn't hiding or anything. It was a pretty open situation.
So basically, they knew he was there and could probably hear them. Awareness was a big factor.
Exactly. The second point they made was that the officers didn't do anything to try and keep their conversation private. No whispering, didn't ask him to leave, no attempt to shield their conversation.
So they were just chatting casually, knowing he could hear them.
Pretty much. And here's the third point. This is where it gets a little nerdy legally. The Illinois law at the time didn't actually differentiate between simply overhearing a conversation and recording it.
Wait, so you're saying if it was legal for him to just sit there and listen, it was also legal for him to hit record on his tape recorder?
You got it. That's exactly what the court decided. They zeroed in on the idea that eavesdropping has to involve a surreptitious interception, meaning the conversation had to be intended to be private. And in this case, they didn't see Beardsley's actions as secretive or hidden. He was right there in plain sight.
So the officer's intent was a big deal. By not taking any precautions, they weren't really indicating that they wanted to keep their conversation private. But there's another wrinkle here, right? Justice Simon. He had a concurring opinion that takes a slightly different approach.
Oh yeah, Justice Simon. He agreed that Beardsley shouldn't be convicted, but he got there in a different way, legally speaking. He argued that the Illinois law actually does require all parties to consent to a recording.
But the officers definitely didn't say, hey, you can record us.
True. But Simon's view was that by talking openly in front of Beardsley, knowing he had a recorder, they were basically giving their consent, even if they didn't say it out loud. What we call implied consent.
So by choosing to talk freely in that situation, they were essentially consenting even without saying the words.
Exactly. And this difference of opinion between the majority and the concurrence is a great example of the debate you often see in legal interpretation. The majority focused on the bigger picture and what a reasonable person would consider private, while Simon focused on the strict wording of the law itself.
Like two different paths leading to the same destination. So for those of you out there just starting your legal journeys, what's the lesson here? Does this mean anyone can just record any conversation they happen to be around? Can I walk around with a recorder running 24/7?
Hold your horses. People v. Beardsley didn't give everyone free rein to record anything they want. It established a two-part test for what counts as illegal eavesdropping. First, the people talking have to have intended for their conversation to be private. And second, the specific circumstances have to back up that expectation of privacy.
Got it. So whispering secrets in a soundproof booth, probably a reasonable expectation of privacy. Chatting in a busy coffee shop, not so much. And this is where things get even more interesting, especially if you're studying law.
Absolutely. What People v. Beardsley really highlights is the difference between statutory privacy, which is the protection you get from a specific law like this eavesdropping law, and constitutional privacy, which are the broader rights guaranteed by the Constitution, like the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable searches and seizures.
And the court was very clear that this case wasn't about constitutional rights. It was about whether Beardsley broke the specific Illinois law. That's a key difference.
You said it. There might be situations where recording someone without their consent could violate their constitutional rights, even if it doesn't technically break a specific eavesdropping law. It's a whole different ballgame legally and a whole new set of questions to consider.
Definitely something to think about. But before we go down that Fourth Amendment rabbit hole, let's come back to Beardsley and what it established.
The big takeaway here is that just being present for a conversation, even if you're not trying to hide, doesn't automatically mean you're free to record it without any legal consequences. It depends on a lot of factors. The intent of the speakers, the circumstances, the way the recording was made, all of that comes into play.
So no easy answers. Just a whole lot of legal gray area. This is what makes studying law so fun, right? Untangling these knots and figuring out the nuances.
I couldn't agree more. And what makes People v. Beardsley even more interesting is that it came before smartphones and social media exploded. It was dealing with a much simpler situation, a tape recorder in a police car. But it raised questions that are even more relevant today. How do you figure out a reasonable expectation of privacy when we're surrounded by devices that can record us in ways that are way more subtle and powerful than a clunky old tape recorder?
It's like the court was throwing down a gauntlet for future generations of legal minds to pick up. How do we apply these principles in a world that's changed so dramatically?
You nailed it. And you can see how that's playing out in all the cases that have come after Beardsley. Cases dealing with hidden cameras, surveillance footage, recordings made on smartphones. The core ideas from Beardsley are still there, but applying them to these new situations gets really complicated.
Because now you've got all these extra layers of questions. Was the recording device hidden? Was the person being recorded aware of it? Did they consent even implicitly? It's a whole other level of legal analysis, trying to understand intent and expectations in these increasingly complex scenarios.
That's exactly why this case is so valuable for law students. It's not just about memorizing the facts and the ruling. It's about really understanding the ideas behind it all and how they can be applied to new situations that are constantly popping up. The law is a living, breathing thing. It has to adapt to the world around it.
It's like a legal puzzle where the pieces keep changing shape as you're trying to put it together. You've got to be adaptable. You've got to be able to think on your feet and apply these core concepts to situations the original lawmakers probably never even dreamed of.
I love that analogy. And speaking of technology changing things, one area where Beardsley has had a huge impact is law enforcement. Think about how tech has changed the way police do their jobs.
Well, now you've got officers wearing body cameras, dash cams in their cars, all kinds of recording devices that are constantly documenting their interactions with the public. It's become pretty standard in a lot of places.
Exactly. And even though People v. Beardsley didn't deal with those technologies directly, the principles from the case have shaped the legal rules around how those recordings can be used, both in investigations and in court. It's raised questions about whether someone being questioned by an officer knowing they're being recorded has a different expectation of privacy than someone having a casual conversation at home.
It adds a whole new layer of complexity to something that was already complicated. On the one hand, you've got the need for transparency and accountability in law enforcement. But on the other, you've got individual rights and the potential for those recordings to be used in ways that weren't intended.
It's a delicate balance, for sure. And even though it came before all these technologies, People v. Beardsley has provided some of the foundational ideas that courts are using to grapple with these new challenges.
So for everyone listening who's either going to be a lawyer someday or just enjoys thinking about these things, why should we care about a case from 1986? A case that seems like it's just about a speeding ticket and a tape recorder.
Because People v. Beardsley is a perfect example of how the law has to constantly change to keep up with new technologies and changing social norms. It shows us that something that seemed pretty straightforward back then, recording a conversation without consent, can become really complicated and nuanced when you add in new gadgets and the way our ideas about privacy are changing.
It's a powerful reminder that the law isn't static. It's dynamic. It's always in flux. And as future legal minds, you need to be ready to engage with that.
Absolutely. And with technology changing faster than ever, we can be sure that we're going to see even more legal challenges and debates about privacy and recording in the future. People v. Beardsley, even though it was decided in a pre-internet, pre-smartphone world, has laid some important groundwork for those battles to come.
So it's not just a case worth knowing for your next law school exam. It's a case that helps us understand how the legal decisions of the past are shaping the challenges of today and the legal landscape of tomorrow.
Couldn't have said it better myself. But let's change gears a bit and look at one last but really important aspect of this case, the public's reaction to the ruling.
This is where we really see how legal decisions can have a ripple effect on society and impact people's lives in very real ways.
You know, one thing that really stands out to me about People v. Beardsley is how it kicked off this much bigger conversation about privacy rights and technology. The case was kind of ahead of its time in a way.
Yeah, I mean, back in 1986, when this all went down, the most high-tech recording device most people had was a big, clunky tape recorder. Smartphones and all that were still way off in the future.
Right. The world was a totally different place back then. So the court was dealing with a relatively simple situation, a tape recorder in a police car. But it ended up bringing up these really big questions that are even more relevant now. You know, like, how do you even define a reasonable expectation of privacy when we're surrounded by devices that can record us way more easily and discreetly than a tape recorder?
It's like the court threw out this challenge for future lawyers and judges to figure out how do we apply these ideas in a world that's changed so much?
That's a great way to put it. And you can see that playing out in all the cases that have come after Beardsley. Cases about hidden cameras, surveillance footage, recordings made on smartphones. The basic principles from Beardsley are still important, but using them in these new situations gets really tricky.
Because now you've got all these extra questions to think about, right? Like, was the recording device hidden? Did the person being recorded know about it? Did they give consent even if they didn't say it out loud? It's a whole new level of analysis trying to figure out intent and expectations in these situations that keep getting more and more complicated.
And that's what makes this case such a good learning tool for law students. It's not just about memorizing the facts of the case and what the court decided. It's about really digging into the concepts behind it all and seeing how they can be applied in these new situations that are always coming up. The law has to keep changing and adapting as the world changes. It's not just a set of rules written in stone.
It's like a legal puzzle where the pieces are always changing shape as you're trying to solve it. You've got to be able to think on your feet and apply these core ideas to situations that the people who wrote the laws probably never even imagined.
I like that. It's a good analogy. And speaking of technology changing things, one area where Beardsley has had a really big impact is in law enforcement. The way police officers do their jobs has changed so much because of technology.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now you've got officers wearing body cameras, dash cams in their cars, all sorts of gadgets that are recording their interactions with the public all the time. It's become pretty standard procedure in a lot of places.
Right. And even though the Beardsley case didn't deal with those specific technologies, the ideas from the case have had a big influence on the legal rules about how those recordings can be used, both in investigations and in court cases. It's raised questions about whether someone who's being questioned by a police officer, knowing that they're being recorded, has a different expectation of privacy than someone who's just having a conversation at home.
It's definitely made a complicated issue even more complicated. On the one hand, you want to have transparency and accountability in law enforcement. But on the other hand, you have to protect individual rights and make sure that these recordings aren't being used in ways that weren't intended.
It's a tough balance to strike. And even though People v. Beardsley came before all of these technologies, it's provided some of the foundational principles that courts are using to try and figure out these new challenges.
So for all of our listeners out there who are future lawyers or just people who are interested in how the law works, why should we care about a case from 1986 that seems like it's just about a speeding ticket and a tape recorder?
Because People v. Beardsley is a really great example of how the law has to be constantly changing to keep up with new technologies and the way society is changing. It shows us that something that might have seemed like a pretty clear-cut issue back then, recording a conversation without consent, can get really complicated and nuanced when you start thinking about new gadgets and how our ideas about privacy are changing.
It's a good reminder that the law isn't some fixed set of rules. It's always changing. It's dynamic. And anyone who wants to work in the legal field needs to be ready to adapt and think about things in new ways.
Exactly. And with technology developing faster than ever before, we know there are going to be even more legal challenges and debates about privacy and recording in the years to come. And even though it happened in a time before the internet and smartphones, People v. Beardsley has given us some really important ideas to build on as we face those challenges.
So it's not just about passing your next law school exam. It's about understanding how the legal decisions of the past can help us deal with the challenges of today and shape the legal world of tomorrow.
I totally agree. But let's switch gears for a minute and talk about one more really important part of this case, the public's reaction to the court's decision.
This is where we can see how legal decisions can have a ripple effect on society and make a real difference in people's lives. You know, it's kind of wild to think about how a case from 1986, a time before smartphones and social media even existed, can still feel so relevant today.
It really shows you how much power legal precedent has, doesn't it? How one case can set these principles that we're still using to understand the law, even as the world around us changes in ways the judges back then couldn't have even imagined.
I know, it's crazy, right? And with People v. Beardsley, it's not just the legal stuff that's interesting. It's how the case got people talking about privacy in a world where recording technology is everywhere you look.
You're right about that. Remember Beardsley happened when recording devices were still these big, bulky things? Now we're carrying around these little devices in our pockets that can record audio and video so easily. It's a completely different world.
Makes you think, huh? How do you think people would have reacted to the Beardsley decision if they had smartphones back then? Would they have been more upset about the idea that someone could record you without asking? Or would they have been more focused on how this ruling could hold powerful people accountable?
That's a really interesting question. You know, in a way, our whole idea of privacy has probably changed since 1986.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live in this world of social media where people are sharing all kinds of personal stuff online. Maybe people would have been more okay with the idea that everyday conversations, especially in public or semi-public places, don't need the same level of privacy protection as they used to.
But at the same time, people are more aware now of how recording technology can be misused for things like surveillance. There are all these stories about hidden cameras and data breaches and government agencies getting people's information without their permission. Maybe the public reaction would have been more about being worried about the implications of Beardsley for individual rights and freedoms.
It's a tough issue with no easy answers, which is what makes it so interesting from a legal point of view. It really shows why cases like Beardsley, even if they seem kind of old-fashioned, are still so important for understanding how the law has to adapt to the challenges we face today.
So for all of our listeners who are going to be lawyers someday, or just people who are interested in how legal decisions shape the world, what are the biggest takeaways from our deep dive into People v. Beardsley?
I think there are three main things to remember. First, People v. Beardsley shows us how legal precedents can have these ripple effects that go way beyond the specific facts of the case. This decision came from a speeding ticket and a tape recorder, but it's still influencing legal debates about privacy recording technology and the balance between individual rights and the power of law enforcement.
It's a perfect example of how a case that seems minor can end up being a landmark decision that shapes the legal landscape for years to come.
Exactly. Second, Beardsley shows how important context and interpretation are in the law. The court didn't just look at the words of the Illinois eavesdropping statute. They also considered the details of what happened. The officers knew about the recording. They didn't try to keep their conversation private, and they weren't really trying to keep their conversation a secret.
It reminds us that the law isn't just a bunch of strict rules. It's more like a framework that has to be applied in a smart and fair way, considering the specific facts of each situation.
I agree. And maybe the most important takeaway from People v. Beardsley is that the law is always changing. It's dynamic. It has to adapt to the challenges of a changing world. This case was decided before smartphones, social media, and all the surveillance we have now, but it forced the courts to start thinking about how new recording technology affects individual privacy rights.
And with technology changing so fast, we know that the legal and ethical issues around privacy and recording are just going to get more complicated and difficult.
That's for sure. But the things we've learned from People v. Beardsley, like how important context is, how our idea of privacy is changing, and how the law needs to keep up with new technologies, will help us as we try to figure out these new challenges.
So there you have it, folks. A deep dive into People v. Beardsley, a case that proves that sometimes even a simple speeding ticket can lead to some really big legal questions. Questions that we're still trying to answer today.
And as always, we encourage you to keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep thinking about the law and all its complexities. See you next time.